Hey, do you need a t-shirt, a bag, a cushion, or a vinyl decal for an event? Go to mehink.com.au. They offer a range of limited run products for people that make no excuses for who they are or what they like. Mer Inc., proud sponsors of Full Credit to the Boys. This week on Full Credit to the Boys, we reveal the major division at the Panthers that's set to destroy their season. The Bulldogs get desperate for a try, and Wayne Bennett thinks Paul is a Kent. Welcome to Full Credit to the Boys.
Ah, I see what you did there.
Congratulations, me! Well, hello, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, and welcome to Full Credit to the Boys. You can find us on Twitter at FCTTB_podcast. I am former legend at former_legend on Twitter. And you can find the man on my right currently wearing an eye patch and a headscarf. You can find him on Twitter at Sid Punts. He's been nominated for a Brown Logie for worst drunk at a cricket test. He's the Richard Hatch of Full Credit to the Boys. Welcome, Sid Punts.
Now, again, I said it last week, I'm enjoying these intros. You release a little bit more information about me each week. I remember Richard Hatch.
Yeah.
I remember him. He was a strange fella.
Well, tell everyone, who is Richard Hatch?
He was from the first season of American Survivor, the original Survivor.
He won it.
Oh, he won it.
Nudist, mad.
I remember he was a nudist. Yeah.
He didn't wear an eye patch and a headscarf, but...
Where'd you get the eye patch and the headscarf?
Now, listen.
Okay.
I've been watching a fair bit of footy. And
as
reading,
you should.
Reading a fair bit of the Fox Sports News website.
Oh, yes.
Sid, what's the Fox Lab?
I do know what the Fox Lab is.
Yeah.
It's on Foxtel, on Fox NRL. It's kind of... It's like the CSIRO meets David Middleton meets the Ponds Institute.
Well, funnily enough, that's what I thought. I thought, is this thing like the Ponds Institute?
Is that what you thought?
Are people who run around in white lab coats making soap that effectively removes impurity from your skin but is gentle enough to use every day? Is that what's going on there?
I can't believe you thought it was like the Ponds Institute too.
Because...
It's a very, very dodgy scientifically... unproven lab, I reckon.
Well, funnily enough, if you want to talk about dodgy labs,
yes.
This week we're going to introduce, to full credit of the boys, the former legend Backyard Stats Lab. Much like a tin pot shed where we're cooking meth up.
Like my old house, my next door neighbour. So hey, Gary.
Unlike
if you're listening.
Unlike the Ponds Institute, down at former legends Backyard Stats Lab, there's a couple of blokes running around in bikies, vests,
yeah,
and flannos, cooking up stuff on Bunsen burners, going and ordering bulk orders of chlorine and what else do you put in the meth? Did you say,
I'm
Sid?
I'm not saying. I don't know.
Pseudos. Getting a bunch of pseudos.
Yeah.
So, this week on, former legend Backyard Stats Lab.
Stats Lab.
Yeah, Backyard. Yeah.
Okay, I like it.
Okay. Well, before we get into the news, I want you to play one more thing from this week.
Okay, it's not on the running sheet. What is it?
This is awkward. This is what this is.
Okay, what is it?
This is a Nigerian soccer player. Now, I believe his name is Muhammad Anul.
Anul.
Yeah. And this is his thank you speech for winning Man of the Match.
Okay. Premiership Man of the Match, Muhammad Anul. Congratulations, Mohammed. I'm sure coming down here and making sure you walk away with something is a good achievement. But looking at the balance of play, I'm sure you could have won that game tonight.
Thank you very much. And I thank Almighty God who is above. I always wish to win one of these and I got it. So thank you very much for this, for giving me this. And I appreciate my fans also. My wife and my girlfriend. I'm so sorry. My wife, Lizzle, I love you so much. Aya. I love you so much from my heart, ne?
Yeah, he loves her, all right.
There's so much wrong with that.
What did I say? He's a nus or a nul?
You said a nu. I think you let him get off lightly. His name is a nus.
He's about to cop it up to your nus when he gets home, I'll tell you.
He thanked his wife and his girlfriend.
Oh, no.
Oh, the a nus.
Anyway.
Poor a nus.
Let's head to the news.
We'll be right back.
I've played the wrong news jingle the last 2 weeks. I don't know if anyone's noticed. But that still has the Morse code.
There you go.
If people want to unravel who is former legend. Go
right,
for it.
First up in the NRL news this weekend, Wayne Bennett confronted Benji Marshall over the Anthony Milford rumour where Paul Kent from News Corp came and said that Milford's efforts at training leave a lot to be desired, a trait Marshall had noticed. Benji's horrified by it. He said, it's not good enough.
I saw this.
Wayne lost his shit, and the Courier Mail's Peter Badle reported that Bennett was furious over the allegations and approached Marshall, who denied ever talking to Ken about Milford. Paul Kent then returned serve on Thursday night, labelling Bennett godlike with a godlike ego.
He didn't hold back, did he? Kent's got a head full of steam over this.
Out of all this, yes. Who's in the right, who's in the wrong, Sid?
Well, this is typical journalism at its best. Let's just fake a headline and then let's get a reaction and create a further headline, because what he actually said, I watched this, Kent said... He reported about Milford, and then as just a byline at the end, he's like, Benji Marshall's horrified by it.
Mm.
So then Kent's come out and said, well, I never interviewed Benji.
No.
But he's milked it for all it's worth. But what I think's more awkward is Kent works with Eichen on NRL 360 on Fox.
Mm.
And Eichen is Bennett's son-in-law.
Mm.
And when Kent came out and gave Bennett a serve, he said... A lot of people who have known Wayne for a long time are confused by his current behaviour.
I'm glad you picked up on that. I picked up on the same thing.
So,
good luck at Christmas time, Benny.
I don't know who's put Marshall in it or Milford in
it. Well, I'll tell you what happened.
But I think Kent's put Eichen in it big time.
Eichen was the one who came out and said, I told Paul Kent that Benji was horrified.
He's actually said that?
Yep.
Oh, I didn't know this bit.
Yep.
Okay.
But what I've noticed, and you kind of just touched on it then, there seems to be a lot of news reverberating around stories about stories.
Oh, yeah, it annoys me.
Matty John says something on his show.
Yes.
That becomes a headline in both the Daily Telegraph and on Fox Sports News.
Yes.
How is that? How is a comment a story?
Well, that's journalism nowadays. I've actually got more to say about this later.
It's a little bit lazy.
It is very lazy. You don't get that from around here. We've got our finger on the pulse and we only report facts.
Out of all of this,
as we see them
from the former legend Backyard Lab, out of all this, who's the loser?
Oh, I think, well, it's a double-edged sword. The loser out of this is Wayne Bennett, and it's just like you said, it's a self-perpetuating myth. They're going hard after Bennett. He defends himself. He looks like a dickhead, so they go harder at him. He's the loser out of it. He's throwing mud everywhere. Benji, like, really?
I think you've missed the point.
What's
the biggest loser out of this is Milford.
Why?
Clearly, Benji's white handing him for his number six jumper.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Fatty Boombas and a little Oompa Loompa.
Benji Marshall shouldn't be throwing stones in the fat house. I'm telling you.
All right. As the Knights looked out of the race to sign Jack Bird, the Eels have stepped up to the plate, hoping to snare the young gun, willing to match the $2.7 million three-year offer that Newcastle made. Now, apparently, the Knights are... Bird has given them the big no, but he hasn't given the Eels the big no for the same price.
Oh, wow.
So that's interesting.
I wouldn't be going to the Knights either. Yeah. I said it last week that he should take the money.
Shan't be rushing.
But if somebody's going to pay the extra, avoid the Knights.
Chris Sandow... has Ida returned to the top grade, apparently training the house down. How would you know that Chris Sandow's training the house down, Sid?
Well, where is Sandow now? What's he doing now? He's been off our radar for a while.
The pyramids, I'd say.
Is he? Yeah. Does he have a contract anywhere? Is he playing anywhere?
No.
Chris Sandow training the house down is like, remember Owen Craigie? I think he played for about four clubs.
All talent.
All guts, literally. And every year there was a good luck story saying Owen Craigie playing the house, training the house down.
Okay, another big story to come out of this week. Jason Taumalolo has signed a $10 million 10-year deal at the Cowboys.
Ridiculous.
On whose behalf?
On both the club and, well, maybe not his behalf. I'd take the 10 mil. But what's going to happen in 8 years? Maybe the salary cap will be $4 bajillion.
Great point. And this is the thing.
I think it's a lose-lose for everyone. I don't understand the thinking behind it.
Yeah. It's a good headline for one day, and then I think reality sets in and we all think, hang on.
Yep.
Is that such a great idea? Like, on both, like you said, what happens if he gets a, and touch wood, it doesn't happen. What happens if he gets a serious ACL injury and
that's right.
rules him out?
He's a forward. Like, we talk about Daly Cherry Evans, who 8 million over 10 years or 10 million over 8 years. I don't know what it is. It's ridiculous. It's stupid. I don't even know if I'll be alive next week. How would I sign a contract for 8 or 10 years? But Cherry Evans has pulled his socks up the last 2 weeks. But he's a half. You're paying $10 million on a 10-year contract on a forward. Ridiculous.
All right. Well, yeah, I agree on that. Let's go to this one, the final one for this week.
Okay.
The Bulldogs have made a large 4-year offer to Aaron Woods, according to James Hooper.
Oh, here we go. Yep.
James Hooper, who's had more guesses than an Oxford Street fortune teller in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I've got more to say about Hoops. My mate Hoops, later.
You've had a few beers with over the summer.
I have.
Now tell me, what do we think about this?
Well,
is it legit?
I don't think you can trust any media at any time on any day. I don't know. I honestly don't know. Like, cause
I would have thought the Bulldogs' biggest problem isn't a forward right now.
Well, that's 100% true. That, yeah. But then it came out yesterday that they're going to buy all the big four.
Yeah, well, I heard that too.
And they've all got back-ended contracts at the Dogs. I'm not sure that I can believe anything from anyone.
All right. Let's get out of the news and have a look at this. The NRL results for round 4, which was rheumatoid arthritis round.
It was indeed.
Thursday night, a Rabbitohs team full of blokes with hands like cymbals lost to a flat-looking Roosters team at Renovators Delight, 20-6. Luke Keary faced his old team for the first time. Sydney was happy to come out on top against the Bunnies.
I bet you he was.
But he stopped short of giving it to any of his teammates out in the field, or so he says. In fact, according to Keary, there was no chat either way, something he was a little surprised at. They must have forgot not to talk to me, he laughed.
Oh, funny.
Oh, well, Keary finished as one of the game's better players, ending up with one line break and a try assist. We get those stats thanks to the backyard lab.
Former's backyard meth lab.
Stat lab.
Oh, stat lab. Yeah. Sorry if anyone from AFP are listening.
Other thing to come out of this.
Stat lab.
Whilst brother Thomas had a worse night with his hands than Rolf Harris at a blue light disco, Sam Burgess seemed to be the reason the Bunnies were only down by 14 points at half time and not more than 20. However, after Sam failed an HIA test from an accidental head knock, he sat out the entire second half, and along with him went the Bunnies' chances of giving the game any kind of shake. Would you agree with that statement?
I would agree with that statement, and I'll have more probably next week to talk on this head injury assessments.
I believe you've uncovered some tapes that you want to listen to.
I've been working behind the scenes. This is real journalism here at Full Credit to the Boys, not this gutter bullshit from Hoops and the Boys.
In an indication,
we'll have a scoop next week.
And an indication of just how good the Roosters' defence is right now, the Bunnies had the majority of the ball, they made 200 ball metres with the ball, and made less tackles. But for all that, they couldn't crack what they are now labelling the Bondi Wall.
I love it when they come up with this shite.
I thought the wall was something entirely different out the eastern suburbs, Sid, but there you go.
It is. That's where we met.
You called me Daddy and I called you Sugar.
The Roosters are looking good. That's true. That's unusual stats that they were so dominant and yet still went down 20-6. So maybe it is a wall, only allowing 6 points in.
Friday night, Sid, and the Panthers scraped home against the Knights at the Pig.
Tight one.
Eventually winning 40-0.
Yeah.
My favourite halfback running around at the moment, Sid, Nathan Cleary, had a night to remember. And with thanks to the former legend Backyard Stats Lab, we have a look at him. 16 points coming from 6 goals in the last try of the game to go along. 15 tackles, 1 try assist and a line break. State of Origin time? Too early?
You talk him up 1 week.
I love
rubbish him.
Rubbish
him the next.
I never have rubbished Nathan Cleary.
Okay.
Luke Brooks I might have, but not Nathan Cleary. Corey, now, Penrith fans, gather around.
This is what we alluded to in the intro.
We are about to break an exclusive here.
We don't deal in rumours and innuendo.
We deal with facts here, and here's the fact for you. Debutant Corey Harawira Naira scored a meat pie for the Panthers on debut, joining Dallin Latin, Zalesniak, Tamari Martin, Regan Campbell-Gillard, as blokes with two dads at the Panthers. Now, Sid.
Yes.
Does someone with such an ordinary name like Peter Wallace or Nathan Cleary, how do they feel amongst blokes with far superior and exotic names?
Because there's I'll some tell great you, names there.
I'll tell you the answer to that. Is there a chance of division in the club, Sid? You know the answer to this, don't you? Yes. When blokes with dud names like Trent Merrin look to the team sheet and see other names like Waka Blake. Is it Waka or Wanga?
Wanga Blake. Wanga.
Leilani Latu or Sitalika Akawala.
I don't think you pronounced any of them right, except maybe Blake.
I'll tell you, if I had another go, I wouldn't pronounce them the same way. Now, this is a huge division, apparently.
Yeah, I'm not so sure. I'm not sure. I can see how it's controversial, but I had a look at the Panthers website during the week, and this seems to be a policy that the Panthers have in place from the juniors all the way through their ranks. They want players not picked on ability, on their exotic, double-barreled, hyphenated names. I looked at the Holden Cup team.
How many?
So this is going to be a generational thing at the Panthers. They've got, how about these for a couple of names? Tevita Mapapalangi.
Yep.
Jamon Wormleton. Pretty good. Pretty good.
I'll have that with some rice, thanks.
But it even goes, I clicked on the cheerleaders as well to see if this this flows down all the way to the girls. Let me rattle off a couple of their cheerleaders' names. And this is fair dinkum. You can click on their website. There's a cheerleader called Shaniqua Awanafiliapipi.
What? That's outrageous.
It's a true story.
I tell you what, it's a very sexy name.
It's nice, isn't it? But she's partnered with Shabubu Letamafilia Tutu.
Is that right?
This is fair dinkum, man. It's fair dinkum. There must be some policy in place. Gus Gould, with his ice-cold oak and his exotic names, is building a culture out there.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that someone with just a plain old name like Trent Merrin's going to take this on board. Is there any... what about the any more cheerleaders you got there?
Yeah, there's a couple more cheerleaders. Oh, well, there's one more cheerleader. She's an Aussie, so she can't even... This is where I think it's a policy. It's not just some name you've been handed down. There's Aussies here that have embraced the double hyphen.
Double barrel surname.
First name and surname
two,
out there.
Two dads.
There's another cheerleader called Stacey Lee Brownsmith.
Brownsmith.
Double barrel front and center.
Just go back through those other ones again for me.
Shaniqua Awanafiliapipi.
Yep.
And Shabubu Letamifilia Tutu.
Wow.
Big names.
Well,
big
there you have it, Penrith fans. A bit of a...
I don't think it's going to tear their club apart. I think this is something that they're embracing.
Well, I hear that Todd Greenberg has got wind of this, and later on the show, we're going to reveal what Todd Greenberg has... Well, the Band-Aid that he's going to put on this problem out there at Penrith.
Interesting.
All right, just finally out of this game, remember, we're going back to this, the Panthers scraped home against the Knights at the Pig.
Did they?
40-0. Now, a few good judges... predicted that Newcastle might be working their way towards a bit of a flogging, Sid. And so it came to be last Friday night with easily their worst performance of this year. And one that looked like many of their losses at the back end of 2016. Now, what will be of interest is if they can get back off the canvas this week against the Sharks, who beat them by 60 points in this game last year.
Yeah.
And remember, they made a framed piece of memorabilia about it.
They did.
I wonder how many of those things are burning right now.
They might put one out this week.
Yeah.
We only beat them by 50.
Well, hopefully those cheerleaders can get those get the boys up.
Yes.
I won't get you to go over their names one more time.
If you like.
Friday night, the Broncos avoided another golden point game, getting up by 1 point over the Raiders at Stinder Stadium, 13 points to 12. Now, the talking point out of this game, Sid, was why Jordan Kahu was the go-to man to take the game-winning field goal and not Anthony Milford. Some people are saying this is a big story, some people aren't.
Particularly
given the events played out in the week, Sid, I mean, Milford's effort at team training sessions and everything else has been low. His results in this game were pretty low as well. It was the first field goal in Kahu's 59-game career. Now, it's a fair question to ask also why Ben Hunt wasn't the man to go to.
Well, I think it's been reported in the media this week that Ben Hunt did not want the ball to go to him at all. Interesting. That's where you want the ball in your hand, man.
Good luck, Dragons. Now, on the back of a... well,
it's only going to cost them $18 million.
Well, but saying that, how often do the Dragons need a field goal to win a game? Not real often.
If they want to lose 42-7.
On the back of a new four-year deal, Brisbane hooker Andrew McCulloch played his 200th game in style. He scored a try, he belted up 61 tackles, and he became the youngest forward ever to reach 200 games. Those stats, of course, from former legend Backyard Lab.
Yep.
It was a bad night for the Raiders, Sid, in the handling department. They made 15 errors with the ball, and some of their bigger names made the big ones at the big times. Blake Austin, Junior Paulo dropped the ball at the wrong time, and special mention goes to Jordan Rapana, who was set to become an honorary Burgess after his night of horrors.
Yeah, well, I don't know what's happening with the Raiders, probably because I tipped them to be top two this year.
Saying that, they've started the season off playing some hard teams, so...
yeah, the Tigers.
We'll get to them in
their
a while.
Their only win's been against the Tigers, so, yeah, I guess you're right. Mm. Get them out of the way. They're not playing badly.
No, they're not.
They're just not getting the results.
Yeah. Saturday night, the Sea Eagles embarrassed the Bulldogs at the Lego Fortress, smashing the boys from Belmore 36 points to nil. In what was a long-awaited DCE masterclass, as Cherry Evans celebrated his 150th game in style. He dominated the Dogs with a sublime display, baffling the opposition.
Sublime.
Baffling the opposition with his short kicking game, kicking from both feet too, by the way.
Yeah, I saw that.
He entered the game with five try assists.
He didn't kick the ball with both feet at the same time, though. If I was the coach, I'd be saying...
if you're on 10 years, 10 million, I want to see someone kick the ball two feet, same time. the Bulldogs' stats from this game read like a horror story, Sid. Completion rate of 69%.
Pathetic.
Possession of 44%.
Poor.
29 missed tackles.
Shit.
And ran 600 less metres with the ball.
You can't win.
Oh, and by the way, 7 tries to none.
Yeah, that's the most important stat.
Very hard to come back from that.
I know you're big on stats with your Backyard Lab, but yeah. What's going on at the Dogs?
Well, mate, I can tell you something now. If he was at the Tigers with those stats, Dez would be scouring the positions vacant section of the newspaper right now.
Well, what do you think's going to happen? Do you reckon they want to punt him? Do you reckon he's spat the dummy? And
the one thing I'll say,
I'm baffled by this, I've got to be honest, because his stats overall, they made the semis every year, made 2 grand finals, and it's just not good enough at the Dogs. At the Tigers, if we made the semis 5 years in a row, they put a statue in the middle of the ground. You'd have to run around it at Leichhardt. It wouldn't be outside. It'd be on the halfway line.
Be kicking off around Desi.
That's right.
Bronze Desi. I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. The one thing I'll say is the Dogs generally don't just sack coaches. They usually hang on.
Well, it depends how many family members are available at the time.
But that's very true. But if they need to jump quickly to get hold of Ivan Cleary, that might change things.
Yeah, do you think that's a possibility? I think old mate Joel Kane alluded to that on Twitter the other day.
And didn't Twitter go crazy for
Can I name another poor journalist? Have I said too much?
Jesus.
Have I bagged him too much
Friends
already?
Friends of the show, by the way.
Love you, Joel. If you want to come on the show, you're more than welcome.
The Eels never bothered the Sharks at Renovators Delight. They went down 20 points to 6 in a really low game, Sid.
It was a low game, I've got to be honest.
Despite the return of Corey Norman, the Eels were a long way from their best. Their respect for the ball, they had 64% completion rate, a massive 17 errors and conceded 8 penalties, and they made 65 more tackles. And where are those stats from, Sid?
From the meth lab.
Yeah, that's right.
they're as bad as the Bulldog stats.
They don't look real good at all. Anyway, well, it's a bit of a wait and see with the Eels. Although I will say something interesting coming out of this game, James Seguiaro made his NRL return.
Yes.
And it was the first time I'd seen him on TV with Corey Norman for a long time, although the last time they were in night vision drinking cans of Canadian Club and Dry.
I've seen him on CCTV footage together.
Yeah. Get a photo with some bikies. It must be due for that again.
It's a straight, I don't know, I'm not sold on this Seguiaro to the Sharks. This Brayley is doing the job.
Mm-hmm.
At 30 minutes, the Sharks were holding on. They were dominating. They were looking good. And then I think the commentary even said, is Seguiaro, is this the time that they inject him? They didn't need to inject Seguiaro.
I'm not sure I'll be using the word inject every time I talk about Cronulla at any time. So Yeah, it's not the best choice of words, I've got to be honest.
I just think it's a strange move. Like,
especially with the tough stance that Paul Gallen's made about drugs in
sport. Yeah, what about his brother getting done this week? Is he still tough on drugs this week after his brother got done?
I don't know anything about that, tell me.
Allegedly.
Okay.
I put it on Twitter, it's Gary Gallen's fault.
All right, the third game on Saturday night, the Titans went down to the Cowboys at Crazy Horse Stadium in an entertaining 32-26 game where tackling was optional.
It was an entertaining game, though.
The real winner out of this game, Sid, might have been the Knights, as Kalen Ponga played the house down.
He did.
He almost always broke the line with the ball in his hand. He set up a try for a bloke by the name of, get this one, India, Gideon Gaylor Mosby.
Oh, nice. Good name.
As well as that, he scored one himself. In the end, Ponga made 112 metres with the ball, 3 tackle breaks, 2 line breaks, a try assist, and a try in itself, Sid, from the meth lab. If the Knights can figure out how to get him to play 6 positions each week, they could win the comp next year.
Yeah, well, their salary cap will go down. If he can just play 6 positions, they'll save on all the other players they need to put out there.
Free some space up that way.
Now, I'm the winner out of this. I've had Ponga in me super coach. Don't ask me what super coach means. It's just a burden. But Ponga was on fire.
Former Bronco and Rooster Dale Copley made his debut for the Titans, although his first run will be one he'll prefer to forget.
It's dropping, easy for you to say.
Dropping the ball cold. However, he redeemed himself later in the half to score a try, his first for 2017. Pretty much the way he plays his career, hot and cold each time. Rocks and diamonds.
Nothing wrong with that. You build a career out of it.
Well, more rocks than diamonds, I've got to be honest.
That's true.
Sunday, the pride of the league, the West Tigers.
Let's just move on.
Beat the Storm at halftime. For some weird reason, Sid, the NRL forced the game into a second 40-minute term. Which
I hate extra time, and with the Tigers, extra time goes for 40 minutes. It's called a second half.
Which is an absolute... It's destroyed our season, I put it to you.
Yeah.
It's got to be
an investigation.
Ended up seeing the Tigers tire to lose 22 points to 14. Once again, we didn't worry the scoreboard attendant in the second half.
Nope.
We led 14-6 at the break and we didn't get another point. And in turn, the Storm put on 16. Surely, this is a little bit of a worry.
Well, we played really well for 39 minutes. And then we defended a set 39 minutes. This is back me back in the Magpies. This is what we used to do. And 2 weeks in a row, we've done it with the Tigers. With 10 minutes to go, we leak 2 or 3 tries. This week, 1 minute to go, and we drop the ball, they score a try, and then we clocked off. That was the end of it.
You want to tell everyone the message you sent me at halftime when we were up by 14-6?
I actually did send this message to you.
What did you predict the final score to be?
I said, we will not score again and we'll lose 40-14. So
Sid's rough punt wasn't that rough.
It wasn't that rough.
Now, whilst the big four were the talking point all week, it soon became obvious that the Storm's big three of Smith, Cronk and Slater went out and did what they always seem to do, mate. They dominated a game all the way to victory. Smith kicked a telling 40-20 in the second half that swung the game's momentum.
If we've got a big four, they've dead set got a big 25. Our four are nowhere near any of them. That was disgusting. Our big four versus their big four minus one. And they smashed us. And even that 40-20, I got bagged today. A few of my mates are like, he tried to kick a 40-20 and missed. And then he just tried again and got it and ruined you. And I can't argue.
Yeah.
Look, we knew he was going to do it.
The problem with our big four is, in front of the big three from the Storm, the big four thought they were surrounded.
It's horrible. It's horrible. I don't even want to talk about it. Can't we move on?
I'll tell you what was good to see on the weekend, and that was former Tiger Josh Adokar seal the victory with all the Storm boys looking for somewhere to sit down. Adokar picked the ball up and from the play the ball in his own 20 and ran 80 metres.
This is
pretty much untouched, and a try that broke the Tigers back.
I think if you look up at the whiteboard, Josh Adokar is my tip for try scorer of the year.
I was so happy, Sid, I nearly cried.
Why?
So happy. Oh, just love seeing ex-Tigers go well, especially against the Tigers.
I actually did cry in the 39th minute through to just an hour ago.
In the last game of the round, the Dragons spanked the once were Warriors at Cheesy Bread Stadium, 26 points to 12, and talk about low teams. Let's start at the beginning of this game. I was a little concerned when I read the headline that mentioned Gareth Widdop being involved in a car accident on his way to the game, mainly because the story said that Mary McGregor was on the scene. And we all know Mary's recent form with the old glug, 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 vroom, vroom, vroom. but it seems Widdop was rear-ended by an old lady. Not sure if that's jail talk. And Mary wasn't involved in any way.
Well, allegedly.
Well, not Mary the coach. Maybe Mary the lawn bowler rear-ended Gareth. But
Mary from Cogra.
For all the hype around the return of Kieran Foran, the 5'8 tore his hamstring in the warm-up and his debut for the Warriors could be delayed another month.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Have we, in your stats lab down the back, have you analysed...
Boys!
Have you analysed the betting trends on whether Kieran Foran would play? Was there a late plunge? Very, very strange.
I know Tim Simona got up. He was cheering.
Very odd. Is all I'm going to say.
Yeah.
Allegedly, everything's allegedly.
Considering the amount of uproar about Foran returning early from his off-field dramas, it seems the footy gods might have had the last laugh by giving him another 4 weeks anyway. The Dragons recruit, Paul Vaughan, gave the Dragons that punch through the middle that they've been missing for a while. Now, his stats, thanks to the former legend Backyard Lab, read 186 running metres, 38 tackles, a line break, a try, and some experts have Vaughan pushing for a blue Origin jersey.
Some experts being Laurie Daly. He played good for 20 minutes. Let's throw his name up.
Him and Jared Hayne, first blokes picked. finally out of this game, let's look at the Warriors.
Yes.
They made 21 mistakes for the game despite having 53% of the ball, and they missed 30. I count them again, 30 tackles.
Well, now, I've got something to say about this.
Well, let me just say this.
Go on.
I still reckon it might be too early to judge the Kiwi team since they're a bit of a work in progress, but I'll tell you something now. Stephen Kearney will be very thankful that there's blokes like Jason Taylor and Des Hasler in the news right now.
Well, it's funny you should talk about Stephen Kearney. I've said this last week. The Warriors' attack is glib. Not sure if I said glib last week. I had to look it up this week. They got a great team on paper.
Not sure you've read, use that in the right context, but anyway.
I like it, though. How long till Stephen Kearney is under the pump? I know he lost a leg in a motorbike accident.
No, that's till we're in Nickow, mate.
Oh. Why are we going easy on Stephen Kearney? He's got a record of like 24%. I was only going easy on him because of that.
Because he had one leg.
When are they going to pump this bloke?
And you were thinking, geez, it's hard for Kearney to kick their asses at training with one leg.
Well, that's what I was thinking.
All right, let's get out of that before we get sued.
We won't get sued. He doesn't have a leg to stand on.
Oh, let's head into the casualty ward. We've
missed those puns, haven't we?
The previously mentioned Kieran Foran. Oh, thank God Oscar's not here. He could be gone for a month with a hamstring concern. Luke Brooks also hurt his hamstring.
Good.
Well, hopefully it's not his right leg because I hear that that's the strong one that he needs to carry his wallet around.
Is that the one Kearney lost? I'm glad that he's out. I think Brooks plays better when Moses isn't there, and I think Moses plays heaps better when Brooks isn't there.
When Little John's there.
Yeah, Little John. He's a good player, Little John.
Or even Big Jack, whoever. I don't
and
mind.
No pressure. We're not expected to win another game till 2019, so get out there, Little John.
Well,
carve him up.
The biggest casualty come out of this week was, of course, Jason Taylor. Going into the MASH 4077 camp, it seems he's gone for the season with a serious grade 4 no idea.
That's true. I'm loving these stats from the stats lab down the back. They do some good products down there.
Johnson, the stepper! For the heavyweight championship of the world!
This is a famous victory. It's going to be Australia too.
Sports news.
Now, Sid, in other sports news, cricket. In an attempt to spend more time with Michael Clarke, Virat Kohli elected to miss the deciding fourth test in Dharamsala due to a shocking case of dickheadedness.
It's not an important test match or anything.
Nah, a real captain's knock there. Real grit and determination, real AEB, real Steve Waugh. What an absolute flog this bloke is. After the first day, the Aussies were all out for 300, thanks mainly to yet another century from Captain Steve
what
Smith.
What a freak he is.
India went out to bat in day two and scored slower than Meta's supermodel convention said, ending the day evenly poised at 6 for 248 thanks to a four-wicket spell from Nathan Lyon.
Yes.
Day three saw India take a 30-run lead and then bowl Australia out quicker than a third-grade side on Cox Plate Day. Have you ever played cricket on Cox Plate Day?
No.
Yeah, try to get out real quick so you can catch the race.
This was disgraceful. That was a total collapse yesterday.
Yeah, we got out for just over 100 runs.
Whatever happened to fighting for your wicket, batting all day? I'm telling you, Steve Waugh will be turning in his grave over that.
He's not dead, but nonetheless.
Oh. He's not?
No. And then on day four, we can unfortunately announce that... India got the 100-odd runs they needed for two wickets down, and straight after the game, Virat Kohli has declared that Australia and India are friends no longer.
Really?
Here's a scoop, Virat. We weren't friends with you to start with, you absolute imbecile.
No. We do need... That's about it. I'll write that time code down.
You can't say that. Oh. Oh, no.
Anyway, let's move on.
Put a beep over the top of that. People can guess what you're trying to say there.
That's an idea.
AFL, round one of the AFL kicked off or bounced off for the Sydney sides. A 5-goal loss to the Swans at the hands of Koshy's Port Power team. And early premiership favourites, the GWS Giants, were spanked by 8 goals by Adelaide. Sid, anything to say about this?
No one cares about any of this, except I did pick that Adelaide would beat the Giants.
Formula One. Daniel Ricciardo's car did an impression of Mike Kimura on a winner's morning when it failed to start for the Melbourne GP, won by Australia's favourite son, Sebastian Vettel. Now, we've got a roving reporter from the Grand Prix.
We do indeed.
I think we're going to play something later.
We're going to play it here, but...
Bit of an audition for...
we'll put it as an audition tape.
Yeah, so hang around for the audition for one of the actual creditors.
Full credit to the boys, roving reporter, coming up soon.
All right, well, let's do this.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Make a change. Grab a mirror, Nick Flanagan.
Who?
Nick Flanagan.
Okay.
This bloke was on a mission to find the perfect ring for his fiancée and ended up splashing out on two for his partner, Michelle Fraser. Two engagement rings, Sid.
Two engagement rings.
Oh, don't worry, it gets worse.
Oh, God.
Ms. Fraser was spoiled for choice and her fiancée presented her with a $75,000 7.5-carat ring while he still had the $50,000 3.42-carat ring tucked away.
Who is this bloke?
Sorry, Nick Flanagan for his elaborate proposal to Ms. Fraser. Also included a helicopter ride, a private photographer, an exclusive dinner.
Jeez, he's gone all out.
Mate, hey, Nick, this is from every bloke in Australia. Fuck you. Go and grab a mirror, you show-off, flashy prick. You orange-tanned, fat-gutted physician or whatever the friggin' hell you do. And good luck to any bloke who's thinking about popping the proposal to his future missus when they read about Nick Flanagan, you absolute un-Australian asshole.
Is he Australian?
Yeah.
Oh, that's un-Australian.
All right.
Put a burger ring on that finger, that's all. So how about it, love?
Isn't there a song about that?
I don't know. Is there? If there isn't, there should be.
If you want to put a ring on it. Grab a mirror from the creditors. Let's start. And we'll hit the ground running with...
Hit me.
Efficient Not Lazy said, grab a mirror, the Clunge Monkey, who watched an entire Barnsley concert through their mobile phone screen. He put a photo up of this bloke.
Clunge Monkey.
So Efficient Not Lazy's told a bloke who's holding a phone to grab a mirror by taking a photo of him with his phone. Yeah.
Efficient, right. Not ironic.
Yeah. Efficient, not smart. Landrigan Matt said, grab a mirror blocker for rampant masturbation in the first half of Sunday's game. There is nothing wrong with rampant masturbation.
There is nothing wrong with rampant masturbation. That's easy for me to say.
Even masturbation.
But he did not masturbate for the full half, just 39 minutes.
And a half.
And then he clocked off and we clocked off.
Abe's J said, grab a mirror, the Red Bull team at Oz F1 GP went to Melbourne to see an Aussie podium, didn't even get a start. Well, you should have been the roving reporter that we were asking for.
Yes,
Abe's
where
J.
were you, Abe's J?
A fat, hairy, lazy said.
Oh, I'm all of those this week.
I was going to say, we both are. We're twins.
You've shaved down.
I have shaved down.
Yeah, you're looking pretty sharp.
Yeah.
Still fat.
Still with the mullet.
Still lazy.
The Aussie top order said, fat, hairy, lazy, his brother. The Aussie top order can grab a mirror. They crumbled when we needed them to fire.
Hear, hear. Steve Waugh would be devastated.
Ryan T. Jansen said, grab a mirror, the Warriors board for thinking Kearney would be a good coach. His shit record speaks for itself.
Go easy on him. He's a cripple.
Got one leg. Come on, guys.
Ryan, I got that wrong, didn't I?
Ryan T. Jansen also grab a mirror, the Mong, for teaching their L-plater kid to indicate before getting to a roundabout, plus going straight.
I don't know if Mong is appropriate language.
This might be my favourite one. From Nath J. Cooper.
Coops.
It's not a cock shop. He said, grab a mirror, my kid's piano teacher. If you're going to charge me $40 for a half hour, I better be getting cranked off at the end of it.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Scoop, some of your best work. The greatest shock out of that is you got a kid.
Jesus.
Who would have slept with Coops? Grab a mirror says,
I'll do it for $30 an hour.
What, the cranking?
Yeah, I can't play piano. Coops, come round.
Who else here? Lynchbet also said, grab a mirror, Coach Kearney. Side going awful, yet media leave him be. Great squad, missed the eight.
This is exactly what I was saying.
Yeah.
Why are they going easy on him?
One leg.
We know why. It's not that. There's got to be a reason.
At Dale Blackmore 1 said, Chinese Premier Li Keqiang and all the dickhat cops, supporters, protesters who effed my Friday night beers at the Rocks.
I got no idea what that means, but my grab a mirror has a Chinese theme. Can I go?
No.
Okay.
You're going to go very last of all here tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Scratch that.
Sebo G said, grab a mirror, the State Debt Recovery Office. Don't use my name there, that's all I can tell you. For threatening to cancel my car rego for unpaid fines. What happened to license suspensions?
Wow.
Sid?
Seek a lawyer. I'm not giving you legal advice.
What was that bloke's name? Bunce.
Bunce.
Grab a mirror says Camp B 61. You pair of numbnuts. Your footy picks have me bottom four of work comp. Well, can I tell
you,
Camp B 61, that must be one hell of a strong tipping comp because we are on fire.
Yeah.
We're 9 from 36.
I got 6 from 8 last week.
Yeah, so get that into you. She thinks you're ugly, sent a photo of a bloke who couldn't park and just said, this cockwomble.
Cockwomble's a good phrase.
Shav in Belmont done his usual Subway blast by saying, those pricks at Subway for only stocking Subway home brand water. I would rather drink my own piss.
He loves going to Subway.
Now, while we're talking about drinking your own piss.
But he bitches
piss,
about him.
While we're talking about drinking your own piss.
Yeah, go on. Not sure why we were, but anyway.
Grab a mirror, Full Circle Pale Ale.
What is Full Circle Pale Ale?
Well, they're made in Southern California. A brewery has put together sustainability on tap with a new brew made exclusively from recycled wastewater, according to news reports. Now, I mean, Todd Carney's beaten them to the punch. He's been doing that for years. But this is actually drinking piss.
It is, literally.
Yes, the company, which they aim to provide 30 million gallons of recycled water, including to the brewery, an opportunity to use the new water to source a beer.
Wow.
While helping to raise awareness from the project.
Here's Sid's rough punt for the week. Invest in shares in that shit piss beer company.
Full Circle Pale Ale. That
Full
is a rough punt.
Full Circle Pale Ale.
The one-time only brew made specially for an event, the wastewater beer from Stone Brewings. That's who's making it, Stone Brewing. Buy shares in that company.
This is not a paid announcement. Do not buy shares in that.
I thought that mango beer was horrible, but here's a new one.
I dead set would drink mango beer over that piss shit.
All right, do you want to have a go?
I'll have a go. Grab a mirror, the journalist, and I'm doing those finger things, those
Wankers
apostrophe
do.
Things, the journalist who wrote an article the other day saying cricket should drop the term Chinaman as it is racially insensitive.
I could not agree more.
This, don't start me. This PC bullshit has to stop. Actually, can I say PC? Will that offend Mac users? I'm dark on this.
Oh, you can't say that.
I can't say dark. I have reservations about this.
Oh, you probably get a good parking spot.
Anyway, I find this queer. That's cool, right?
No.
This is bollocks. Who gets offended by a slow left-arm Chinaman? Except maybe a batsman who gets out to that shite bowling. But when did we become offended? Am I offended by an Englishman?
Why do we get to this point in time and then go, you know what? I'm not happy with that. Today's the day I'm going to bring that up.
It's March, right?
Yeah.
Were we pissed off at this in December?
No.
Why did we get to this? I don't know.
Anyway. Yeah, I've got to agree with that. She thinks you're ugly, said grab a mirror, Des Hasler. The players aren't listening. Your tactics are outdated. Turvey was right. Piss off.
Interesting.
MP6868 said, anyone watching the soccer tonight? Adam
Logan.
I've got
to tell you, I wasn't watching the soccer. It's
Ben
shite.
Pugsley wrote, two rows towing caravans. Look in your fucking mirror and let the 30 cars behind you get past.
Yeah, good point. That's what we're here for.
Andrew Maddow, or Shaywom, wrote, journos, grab a mirror. And he actually included the Telegraph Sport in this. Grab a mirror, journos who love bagging the game. Your paper would fold without rugby league.
I appreciate
talk
that.
Talk about that another time. MP6868 wrote, grab a mirror, Tinder Wayne. Happy to accept wages from News Corps, but feels entitled to lecture journos about his squeeze.
That is a true story. He's banned News Corp journalists, and they own a large portion.
Now, Beer Boy
the Broncos
wrote one of life's great pieces of advice here. He wrote, grab a mirror, my mate, who only bought 3 beers in a 6-beer round in a pub crawl on Saturday night because this pub was dearer than the last 4.
Un-Australian.
He then wrote, everyone knows that you buy your rounds early to avoid the dearer venues or fancier drinks later. Hashtag rookie error.
That's all of that is un-Australian. You just buy it. Doesn't matter what it costs.
Beer Boy nailed it. Juan Farcall wrote, grab a mirror, commercial media outlets who seem to want cyclones to be more and more destructive. I couldn't agree more. You can add on top of that, bushfires, floods, locust plagues, whatever you want, terror attacks. They pray that a couple more injuries.
There was an article the other day saying, due to climate change, we haven't had cyclones this year. And then they're like, oh, we got one. Let's talk it up. It's bullshit. Don't look at me like that.
One fuck all also wrote, grab a mirror, foreign. How much money did Eddie Hayson make on you pulling out the pregame warm-up?
Well, I allegedly mentioned that may have allegedly happened.
But, and this is the best grab a mirror for the week, from JV2503 Lewis, a new contributor.
We should have some jingle for the greatest grab a mirror of the week.
I thought we did that. Yeah. All right, we'll look at that. But Jared
this
Lewis.
This is the greatest one?
This is the best one.
Hit me.
It's so funny. Grab a mirror, Andrew Webster's halftime speech.
It was going so well till then.
Oh. Have you got one more to close?
No, I'm not doing another one.
All right.
Well, I'm in fear of offending somebody.
All right. Well, we're done.
Well, let's hit the jingle.
We all want you to go grab a mirror. We're all hoping that you'll change your way. And no message could be any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change.
Listen, you do the Mer Inc. ad this week. What are you going to talk about?
I'm going to talk about Mer Inc.
Yeah. What are you going to say in the ad? I'm not going to do it this week. You do it.
I'm going to say a big thank you to Mer Inc. for their sponsorship of the show.
Yep.
the past 5 weeks. Great sponsors.
Yes.
Make sure you follow them on Twitter at @MEH_INK.
Yeah.
Or visit their website.
Hasn't she got a Instagram and a Facebook account
she
too?
She probably does, but
I think that's on the website. If you go, tell the listeners when you do it that yeah. if they go to that, then they can follow her on Insta.
Yeah, check out her website, www.mehink.com.au. Do you say H or H?
Hink. Mehink.
It's not Mehink. It's Mehink.
Mehink.
Mehink.com.au.
H.
People have been commenting how good the shirts are.
They are, yeah. That's
they've nearly sold out. That's fair dinkum.
Yeah, that is fair dinkum, yeah.
Everyone loves them. Send us a photo in your full credit to the boys, I Am Former Legend shirt by Met Inc.
Include her in the, if they include him, her in the tweet.
Definitely.
So, yeah. She also does the car sticker that you've done out the front there.
Yeah. Why don't you put one on your car?
Nah. Shut up doing that. People run into me deliberately.
People have been asking about those stickers. I may have to contact Met Inc. about getting some stickers to put on our shop. But we do appreciate, and if anyone else wants to sponsor the show, please let us know.
Please.
But thank you, Met Inc., proud sponsors of Full Credit to the Boys.
Full Credit to the Boys.
All right, the round 5 preview, Sid. Now, as I told you exclusively before, Penrith are being torn apart by this jealousy over blokes and their flash names as compared to their old white honky names.
Yeah, it's a big issue.
Todd Greenberg has stepped in this week and announced that round 5 is exotic name round presented by the Australian Sex Party. So exotic name round, Sid, will see each team at halftime parade a player from their past that has possibly the best name. I expect to see players from Islander, possibly French or even Middle Eastern backgrounds with some of the sexiest names in NRL history.
Wow.
It's a wonderful way to broach the subject,
yeah.
to bring some peace to the obviously troubled Penrith Panthers.
Yeah, this is a great initiative from
your barber mate. Now, Thursday night, Dogs v Broncos at Renovos Delight Stadium in the Shane Perry Plate.
Yes.
Who do you like?
I like the Broncos. I don't know where the Dogs are going, and the Broncos are playing well.
Dogs would need to kick off now to win this game.
Yeah, and maybe they will fight, so it'll be a tight one.
New halfback?
The Broncos will get them.
Okay. I also believe the Broncos will get them, but our first scoop of the night comes the Dogs are about to...
Who are they trotting out in exotic name round?
Nigel Vergara, because it sounds like vagina, basically. Very sexy.
As if he wasn't not a hiding to nothing when he was at school. Nigel, for a start. They're like, what's your last name? Ah.
And the Broncos are set to bring back Petiro Sivanisiva, only because it rolls off your tongue in a real sexy way.
Petiro?
1-900-855. Friday night, Roosters v. the Seagulls at the Chailate Stadium in the Grant Dury Trophy.
Grant Dury. What about Rex Terp last week? They got a lot of Twitter.
A storm. There
was a Twitter storm about Rex Terp. Who's Grant Dury?
Who do you like, Roosters Seagulls?
I like the Roosters.
Yeah, so do I. I think. Now, well, the Roosters are going to drag out a bloke from the 1930s. Yeah. Viv Thickness has come. True story.
No.
And the Seagulls are going to answer Viv Thickness and bring out Dick Windshuttle.
Shut up. Well, you got to get out to Chailate Stadium to see them walk around.
Big Dick and the Thickness are out there together. Cowboys v South at 1300 Eggs in the Jeremy Schloss Shit Shoe Shield. The Cowboys.
That's my favourite shield.
Well, this is going to be in a cyclone. What's that cyclone up there?
Yeah, that's going to be playing havoc up there. They're going to move that game. What are they going to do?
I don't know.
I'm going with the Cowboys.
Strong enough to do Dallas, that cyclone. Now, you're going the Cowboys?
Definitely.
I'm going the Cowboys. Cowboys are bringing back Sione Faumuina.
Oh, I love that name.
Yeah. And the Bunnies have flown up, especially for this game, Ziggy Niscott.
Oh, they're two of my favourites.
Oldie but a goodie.
Sione Faumuina, Mr. Sione Faumuina.
Saturday night,
Ziggy Niscott.
Sharks v. the Knights at Southern Cross Bogan Tat Stadium in the Cameron Schiraldo Cup.
Yep.
Who do you like? I don't know, really.
I think the Sharks will be up for the Cameron Schiraldo Cup. They'll dominate the Knights.
Pick the score.
Well,
62-0 or something last time.
Yeah, I was going to say, do they pump them for 60? I'm going to go 16-14 to the Sharks.
Jesus. A turn up for the books.
Heard it here first. Rough punt. Put that on.
I'm going 40-20.
No, it'll be a late penalty goal. Get the Sharks over the line.
40-22. Raiders sorry.
Who are they trotting out at halftime?
Well, the Sharks have brought out Sean Wessel. I mean, there's nothing better than a Sean Wessel.
You have to do it nowadays. You can't have a pop-up Wessel.
You don't want a pop-up book downstairs. Lucky we can't tell stories off air that we tell. It's not a good story.
It's a great story.
If we ever do some live shows with just some invited people.
Can you imagine?
I'm going to tell that story.
Just on the stuff we were saying this arvo. That's already popped up, so to speak.
So, Sean Wessel's coming out for the Sharks.
Yeah,
and
good.
The Knights are bringing back Andrew Tagatatoa.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Weird.
Tagatatoa. We couldn't find something before, like a Patiro or something like that.
Exactly.
Bit disappointing.
Petro, anyway. Patiro.
Patiro. Ziggy. Sione. Sione Tagatatoa. Raiders v. the Eels at Geelong Cold Stadium in the Reece Robinson rug. It's the first time that two teams have played for a rug.
It should be more often, if you ask me, especially down there where it's cold.
Who are you tipping?
The Raiders.
Yeah, so they've been very close. They've been very good.
Yeah, and I think the Eels, I've still got wraps on the Eels. I reckon this is going to be a cracking game, and the rug will be decided right at the death, probably with a field goal.
I'm going to say the Raiders will win this.
Yes.
Now, some big names coming back for this.
Great. Hit me.
Royston Lightning is coming back for the Raiders.
I remember him.
Yeah. Debuted with Todd Payton.
Oh,
and
okay.
The Eels are bringing back Kevin Cox.
You can't beat Kev Cox.
Storm v. Panthers at Ronda and Kutut in the Willie Iser Shield. Who do you like?
I like the Storm.
I'm going upset here. I think Penrith, even though they've got a really bad record against the Storm, I think they will beat the Storm, even though it's down at Ronda and Kutut. The Storm weren't that convincing last week. They just played an ordinary team for 40 minutes.
I don't think the Storm can play that bad for 39 minutes.
The Storm are bringing back this week at halftime Sinbad Carly.
Who calls your kid Sinbad? Dead set.
And the Panthers are flying down Attila Tuzi. So Sinbad and Attila are going to be paraded around together in exotic name around down there at Ronda and Kutut.
What a great initiative.
That's a good name too, by the way.
Kutut is a good name.
Sunday, the Warriors versus the Titans at Not So Smart in the Dominique Peru Plate.
Yes.
Who do you like?
I like the Titans. I think the Titans are going okay.
I'm with you. I can't back the Warriors anymore.
Nah. But it's not even about that. I think the Titans are a good team. Jared Haynes not back, is he?
No.
I haven't checked.
They're safe, so they'll win.
Yeah, I think so.
The Titans are going to fly over with him, Lelia Paia.
Nice, nice.
Now,
I love a good Paia.
I know you've been waiting for the Warriors to bring out their best name over their history.
They've had a good few.
They've had some. They've had some beauties. Now, I'm going to say this. I know you've had a go at my pronunciation earlier tonight. I'm going to do
this. Pretty ordinary.
The best I can.
Go.
I hope I pronounce this correctly. The Warriors, for exotic name round, are bringing back a bloke by the name of, and I'll say this slowly, Steve Price.
I think you'll find it's Preche.
The final game of the round.
You've got to do your research. Where's your research lab?
Sitters versus Chinners in the Tigers v. Dragons Renovators Delight.
Oh, yeah. Where's this at?
The Kieran Kirk
Renovators Delight. We should go out, Chinners, if you're listening. I know you're listening.
Tigers will win.
I think the Tigers will win as well.
There you go.
It's one of the few games in the year that I might even go and watch because we're a chance.
So the Tigers have brought out the most exotic name for this round, Chiriaco Mesha.
Oh, I used to love Cherry Mesha.
And the Dragons, they're obviously thinking with the downstairs department because they've brought back Matthew Head.
Matt Head.
last man standing, sit for long. Last man standing.
Last man standing time, Sydney.
Yes.
Tell everyone what's going on there.
I've consulted the former legend Stats Lab.
Yep.
Down the back. You are on fire, my friend.
Backyard Stats Lab.
You picked the Roosters at $1.40.
That's right.
Your $56 that has been rolling on since round two, going well, is now $78.40.
That's right.
I crashed and burned last week, so I've started again. I put $20 on North Queensland at $1.65, and that got up as well. So I'm now at $33. So who are you putting your $78.40 on this week?
Now, this is a warning to punters this week, because whilst there are a lot of games that look obvious, they aren't, all right? There's
no,
some danger games, even though the odds say that they are sure things.
Yes.
Steer clear of Dogs versus Broncos.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah.
Steer clear of the Seagulls versus the Roosters.
Okay.
And steer clear of Cowboys versus South. So the first three games, get away from them,
okay,
because it's raining up there, cats and dogs.
Yes.
And which will bring South right back into that game.
Okay.
My obvious...
Good tip.
My last man standing bet for this week, and I don't like to do it because they're very short odds, but Sharks will easily account for the Knights.
Well, the Sharks are at $1.15 at the moment on Sportsbet.
So we just need that to pump along. So I'm just going to take the obvious one this
okay,
week.
Okay, that's nice. So your $78.40
yes,
is going on at $1.15 on the Sharks, which will give you a return of $90.16.
Good.
Which is good. Now, I only started last week. I'm up to $33. I've sought your advice, and I've listened, and I've ignored it promptly. I'm going for the Gold Coast. They're $2.75 against the Warriors.
I like that bet, and I was very tempted to do that myself.
Yeah, but you're playing with real money. I'm starting off. I'm trying to catch up. So my $33 is going on the Gold Coast at $2.75 for a return of $90.75, and I'll be in front if that happens. So let's see what happens.
He's the last man standing, sit for long. Last man standing.
Ooh, won't hear this set at halftime. You won't hear this set at full time. You won't catch it from the sideline. And I'm just about to lose my mind.
All right, let's do some a triumphant return of unlikely newspaper headlines, Sid, to full credit to the boys.
Yes.
These are newspaper headlines you won't read this week.
Yes.
Do you want to kick off?
Yes. Well, due to the fight between Wayne Bennett and News Corp.
Yes.
I think News Corp are going to run a story this week. Breaking exclusive photos of Wayne Bennett smiling.
I'd say at this stage of his life that it might be old man Wind that's got hold of him. It's not smiling. I've got one here. Breaking. Virat Kohli places AVO on former lover Pup Clark, forcing him out of the country.
Oh, it's all gone sour, has yeah, it? Oh. Well, I've got a breaking story. You heard it here first. West Tigers sign Craig Bellamy. Unlikely, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, very,
it's unlikely.
Very unlikely.
It's unlikely.
This has come from News Limited from their very own papers, and this very unlikely headline says, breaking, Wayne Bennett and new girlfriend in nude photo shoot for News Limited. Wouldn't think that would get up over the line.
Ah, so many wrinkles.
I'm that bastard, Wayne.
Here's something you won't hear. James Hooper has the scoop this week.
Thrown a dart in the dark. What's he got this week?
That's it. He's just jagged a scoop.
Okay.
Love your hoops.
Headline three comes from the Sydney Morning Herald unlikely newspaper headline. It says, Tim Simona, the new face of Starlight Foundation.
Love the sack. Open the sack. Empty the sack. The boy is sad.
iTunes 5-star review time, and we start with this one. It was headed, Dick Hat slash 5 stars.
Nice.
Great podcast. Keeps my daily commute to Melbourne and back 5 hours worth it. Great laugh, you dick hats. P.S. Mention me. Give me a mention on the potty at Tommy24787.
Well, we're not going to do that.
Can't do that, Tommy. Yeah, unfortunately, mate.
Who commutes to Melbourne every day?
For 5 hours.
Hang on, who's Tommy? We'll give him a mention. He sounds like he's got some coin.
He might be moving some product into Melbourne, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I think...
my people will talk to your people, Tommy.
I think Milram might have sampled some of those products. We'll get to that
in a
minute.
We will get to that soon.
All right, well, let's get to that now. New co-host. We had a young cadet by the name of Jones try last week.
Yes.
A little bit blue for our liking.
Yeah, too many swear words.
But I believe we have a new one, a creditor.
You know what I'm like? I hate offending people.
With one leg. We've had a creditor throw in their hat into the ring.
They have indeed.
Roving reporter, young apprentice by the name of Milram.
Yes.
And he's headed into the Grand Prix and been our correspondent down there at Melbourne. And this is what he filed for us at the Full Credit to the Boys newsroom.
Milram reporting here for Full Credit to the Boys. So you're at the Grand Prix in Melbourne. Cars are going round and round and round and round. Who's your least favourite driver?
Definitely Hamilton. He's a wanker.
Milram reporting here for Full Credit to the Boys. What was the problem with Ricardo's race today?
Such a shame today. It was such a great day otherwise, but running on super soft's just not a good plan. You need to be hard when you want to win it.
Yeah. And does your boyfriend race?
My boyfriend is a racer. He's always racing hard and he goes the full distance.
So Daniel was just a bit soft.
Well, full credit to the boys, but Daniel just wasn't having a good day today. You've got to be hard if you want to be in it.
Oh, that's awesome. And what do you think about former legend?
Former legend? I wish I knew who he was. He's awesome.
And Sid. Sid punts. Rhyming slang, Sid punts.
Is a dunce.
Funny as a kick in the pills, Milram, you idiot.
It was an audition tape.
Yeah, no, not the best, let's be honest. That Jones kid, far better.
You think?
Yeah, he's
is
a bit
Jones
more,
in the lead?
A bit more of a future, that kid. If you can turn down the blue stuff. Milram, so thanks very much. But
we might cross the Milram before the end of the show, see how he's going.
Well,
down
I hear
there.
He's still stuck down there.
He's still down there.
He can't get out because of some cyclone or something. I didn't think the cyclone was down Melbourne way, but he's still down there. All right, merchandise, Sid. Tell everyone where they can get it.
Well, you got to be quick. It's full credit to the boys at bigcartel.com, but I can tell you we've only got about 6 shirts left. So if you want a shirt, get on there. Free postage.
Free postage. The best postage deal you've ever seen. Thank you to the subscribers, all the people that subscribe and unsubscribe. It's best you do it 50, 60 times.
Yes, you can't do it enough.
It just clears your phone's history. It's actually like a very good delete function that... can't show your missus can't see you've been on the
Apple
port.
And Samsung actually recommend it now.
Yeah. Now,
yes.
Just before we head off, well, thank you to the numbers, Sid. Talk about numbers this week.
Well, we've consulted the stats lab again.
The backyard stats lab. The boys down there in their rebel shirts.
As my mate Pacey says, self-praise is no praise. However, the numbers are through the roof and we appreciate it.
Thank you very much. We really... Actually and honestly do, all jokes aside.
We're going gangbusters.
Yeah.
Love it. Tell your friends.
Tell your
don't
friends.
Don't slacken off.
We do have a big announcement.
We do too.
We've been promising.
We've been delayed for a couple of weeks.
A bit of legal paperwork to get through.
I've never had to sign a contract.
And, talking of dick hats of the week.
Yes. Who's your dick hat of the week?
Oh, this doesn't do me any pleasure whatsoever. Marina Go, dick hat of the week. She has just done the greatest impersonation I've ever seen of Marcel Marceau with laryngitis over this whole Tiger debacle. Just when it's time for people in our front office to stand up to comfort our fans and give us the direction the club is heading in and stop people from not turning up to the footy.
Yes.
She's had nothing to say. And in fact, she's dodged requests from the media to talk. If it's impersonations that Marina wants to go and try, I say, why don't you drop the mime artist routine and start acting like a chairwoman of an NRL club?
Wow, that's harsh. That's almost as harsh as Sebo's tweet about Marina Go last week.
We won't be mentioning that. Who's your dick out of the week?
Well, I think I've already alluded to this. My dickhead of the week goes to a conglomerate of rugby league journalists, especially full credit to the boys' very own James Hooper, who has had the Big Four signed and quitting.
Unsigned.
Signed, unsigned, subscribe, unsubscribe.
50 times.
He's writing articles like our byline of this podcast. The Big Four have signed and quitted 10 times in 3 weeks. Joel Kane, you can add your name to that as well. Gutter journalists.
Who's under the pump this week, Sid?
Well, West Tigers board is under the pump.
Marina, go.
I'm going to go easy on Marina, go.
Marina, go.
West Tigers board is under the pump. They've sacked our coach. And as I alluded to earlier, Joel Kane said that Ivan Cleary has knocked them back.
Mm.
And the West Tigers board announced this morning that they're meeting with Ivan Cleary tomorrow.
A lot of water to come under the bridge there.
I think so.
Firstly, to understand my under the pump for this week, I need the listeners to go and do something. Go and do a background on this. If you haven't seen it before, I want you to go on Google or go onto YouTube and look for Charles Barkley's golf swing on YouTube. If you've seen it, you'll appreciate why I'm saying that the next group of people are under the pump this week, because Charles is playing a charity golf tournament. And if you're spectating at that tournament, you are going to be under the pump.
Oh, yeah.
I want to quote Charles, or Sir Charles, from a recent interview. He said, "I don't like playing charity tournaments. It's very nerve-wracking because once you hit the first person, you get even more nervous. I could really hurt somebody once you hit the first person." Keep going, Charles. No dramas. He says, "I choke under pressure on the golf course. That's the only way to explain it." So for all those
have you also heard how much he and Michael Jordan gamble on their golf games?
Horribly. They punt over.
They reckon Jordan's a bad punter.
Yeah.
Well, Charles Barkley's betting on his swing against Jordan.
So Charles is a bad golfer. So if you're out there walking the golf course or even walking past the golf course, can I just say you are under pressure this week.
Yeah, stay safe out there, people.
Before we head off, Milram, we're going to check in. We're going to give him a ring, aren't we?
Yeah, we'll give him a ring. But
he just said he's not back from Melbourne. He can't get out of there. Planes are stuck. So
we're going to give him a ring.
We'll say goodbye from now. And Milram, give him a ring. Push those buttons.
Keep smiling and bye for now.
Hello, Milram speaking.
Milram, former legend, mate. Are you still at the Grand Prix?
Can you hear me?
Mate, I can hardly hear you. The music's up loud there. I can't hear any cars. Are you still at the Grand Prix?
Former, Sid, can you hear me?
You still want this job on the podcast?
Next up on stage three, guys, is Porsche. Get ready for Porsche. She goes crazy tonight. Come on, get those stripper dollars out. I can hear you make some noise for Porsche. The louder you get, the wilder she gets.
Tell you what, Sid, wouldn't mind being there just quietly.
Woo!
Bill Ram, since you've been in Melbourne, you've seen live music. What are the singers like?
Melbourne Kingers are awesome. Woo!
You're playing games with my heart.